Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, once again we thank you for being with us on the first day of our festival in Nihojów. In a few minutes we're going to have the final performance on our stage. And while our stage technicians are setting everything up, I'm going to share with you for a few minutes another aspect of India's very beautiful culture. You've heard the music. You've seen the beautiful dance in the theater. Perhaps you've tasted some of the delicious food. But another very important aspect of India's culture is her philosophy. Spiritual wisdom. That spiritual wisdom is found in a very ancient scripture called the Bhagavad Gita. This ancient scripture is over 5,000 years old. And it's recently been translated into your Polish language. Like all the great scriptures of the world, the Bhagavad Gita stresses the importance of the human form of life. All forms of life are to be considered important or sacred because they're created by God. But there's something very special about the human form of life. And that is that God has gifted us with intelligence. By which we can understand our deeper spiritual nature. And that is actually the first lesson of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita teaches in the first chapter that we are not these material bodies. When you get up in the morning and you look into the mirror, you see your reflection. And you're thinking, oh, today I'm looking good, or today I am not looking so good. But this is a little bit of an illusion. Because you are not material. You are not the body. You are spiritual. You are the soul. This body by itself, this body doesn't have life. Matter isn't living. This body is made of matter. What gives life to this body is the soul. Just like by nature, this universe, it's very dark. But because of the presence of the sun, everything becomes illuminated very nicely. So this body is not living, but because of the presence of the soul, the body has life. Actually, we all know we're not the body. When we talk about our body, we say this is my hand. We don't say this is I hand, I arm, I head, I body. We say it's my hand, it's my arm, it's my head, it's my body. It belongs to me. But who am I? I am the soul within the body. So most of us, we can talk for hours about our bodies. About the outward dress. But we know very little about the soul within. So this ancient scripture, Bhagavad Gita, gives great detailed knowledge about the soul within. This body is here today, it's gone tomorrow. But as we all know, the soul is eternal, it never dies. What we call death is just the death of the outward dress, the body. Where does the soul go at the moment of death? Most of us were so busy we don't have time to answer that question. But actually we should. Because one day we have to leave the body. Where are we going? Just imagine a few weeks ago when you started your vacation. You're the wife and you're sitting next to your husband in the car and you're ready to drive out of the driveway on your vacation. And you turn to your husband and you say, "Honey, where are we going for vacation? What's our destination?" And he looks at you and he says, "I don't know, I haven't got a clue where we're going." You would feel very unsure, you would feel very unsettled. You don't know where we're going? So in the same way, we should know exactly where we're going when we have to leave this body. That question is also answered in this ancient scripture, Bhagavad Gita. I'll actually quote Krishna in Bhagavad Gita with one of the verses in Sanskrit. He says, "Dehinosmin yata dehe, kovanam yovanam jara, tata tiantaras paptir, dirastata namuyanti." This is Sanskrit. It means, as the embodied soul passes from the body of a baby to a boy to a youth to an old man, the soul passes into another body at death. What happens at death? You change your body. Of course, if one has perfected his life, if he or she has become an ecstatic lover of God, there's no reason to take birth again, so that soul returns to the spiritual world. But if we haven't achieved that exalted state of love of God, we have to come back. Just like when you go to school, when you go to the high school, and you have your final exams in your fourth year of high school. If you don't pass them, you have to come back next year and try again. So we're in the school of life. We're meant to understand very deep spiritual things. Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? Unless we learn those lessons very well, we have to come back and try again. These are the laws of nature. Now Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there's 8,400,000 species of life in this creation. So according to your desires at the moment of death, which are depending on how you lived your life, you can take birth in any one of those 8,400,000 species of life. Of course, if we had our choice, we would think, "Oh yes, I'd like to be born as a human being in a very nice country and be very wealthy and educated, etc." But Krishna is very quick to point out in his Bhagavad Gita that in this material world, there's no such thing as perfect happiness. This is a world of duality. Day and night, black and white, up and down, happiness and distress. So this is an awkward situation for the soul, because the nature of the soul is to enjoy unlimited happiness. Just like the nature of sugar is sweet, the nature of salt is it's salty, the nature of water is that it's wet. What's the original nature of the soul? He's always happy. There's no anxiety, there's no stress, there's no confusion, there's no pain, all those things that are characteristic of this world. So because we experience those things, we can understand this world is not our real home. You can't find perfect happiness in this world. So logically, the soul doesn't belong here. We're like fish out of water. A fish is very happy in the water. But as soon as you take the fish out of water, even if you take him into Warsaw, and you take him all around the town and try to have a good time in the town with the fish will never be happy. Of course, we hope we can be happy here. And we think that by science and technology and medicine and advanced medicine, we're going to make this world perfect. But it'll never be like that. But somehow or other, we get so enchanted by this world, we forget the goal of life is to return back to the spiritual world. So therefore, at different times in the history of the human race, the Lord comes personally to remind us of our real business. Sometimes He comes Himself. Sometimes He sends His beloved Son. Sometimes He sends a great saint or a prophet. But the purpose is always the same. To remind all of us that this is not our real home and we have to return to the spiritual world. Now, as I speak, you can see many similarities between India's philosophy and the Christian Bible. Or the Quran. Or the Torah. Or the Lotus Sutras of Buddha. Actually, this is the point that all the great spiritual traditions of the world have the same goal of life. The only difference is the practitioners, the clothes they wear or the language they use. India's tradition is very similar to your Catholic tradition. It would be hard actually to find any real significant differences. For example, you're going to watch us in a few moments sing the Hare Krishna song. Many of you know it already because you saw us on the beach today. For 5 hours we are singing and dancing up and down the beach, giving out invitations to this festival. Singing the same song over and over and over. One man said to me, "Hey, why don't you change the song?" But there's no need to change the song. This is not some ordinary song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a song which comes from the spiritual world. It's made up of different names of God. And because God is the source of ultimate happiness, and because He's present in the sound of His name, when you chant Hare Krishna, or any bona fide name of God, you experience the highest happiness. So, but that principle is there also in the Christian Bible. In the chapter, the Psalms of David, the teachings of David, it says that from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the Lord's name is to be sung. With drums and cymbals. And Lord Buddha, in his teachings, he also says, anyone who calls upon my name shall be delivered from the repetition of birth and death. So there's very many similarities. Of course, we've chosen this particular path of Krishna consciousness because we found a great wealth of knowledge in this Bhagavad Gita. So much so that any question you have about spiritual life can be answered in this ancient teachings. So if you're interested to learn more about this ancient spiritual tradition, either before you go home tonight or tomorrow when you come back to the festival, please visit our tent where we have this book, Bhagavad Gita, and many other books as well, ancient scriptures from India, translated into your beautiful Polish language. So I thank the organizers for giving me an opportunity to share a little bit of India's wisdom with you. Now, it's a very important part of India's culture, so we have to share it with you. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again a little bit more. We'll go a little deeper tomorrow into the philosophy of this ancient scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Cinque, me bardzo. Thank you. So we're going to conclude our program this evening with a nice kirtan. We're going to chant Hare Krishna for all of you. I just lost my translator. Where'd you go? Please welcome my translator back to the stage. We're going to conclude our program this evening by having a kirtan. Kirtan means when we all sing Hare Krishna together. I'm going to play this little musical instrument. It's called a harmonium. It's like an organ. You pump it by the hand. Some of my friends are going to play these drums over here. And some of us have little hand cymbals we're going to play. And we're going to invite all the girls, Shika and Darvika, to come on the stage with all the girls now. And you can give them a big round of applause as they all come on the stage to dance for you. All very beautiful young ladies, very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. And these are our veterans back here. Here we have the newcomers, the little girls. They're also going to be dancing for you. So please give these little girls a big round of applause. Saris. And we have this evening, we have 5 silk saris. These very beautiful saris have come to us recently from Bombay, India. And we're going to have a little dance competition. The 5 best dancers tonight, we're going to call them on the stage and give them an Indian sari. And tomorrow night, just so the girls all know, tomorrow night we're going to give away 10 silk saris tomorrow night. Okay, so if you don't win tonight, you can win tomorrow night. Okay, so let us begin singing Hare Krishna. Thank you.